Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The debate, Battle Royale 10, is the future settled or is it open? Can God change the future? Can you change the future? Is everything predestined? Well, that debate is in the 10th round, and you'll want to read it. If you haven't read it yet, you'll want to get to the internet at kgov.com, and check it out. I'm debating a professor from D. James Kennedy's ministry in Florida. And it is a blast. It is a lot of fun. Now, today, we have a federal judge with the Ninth Circuit in California who ruled that the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional to be said by school children because it has the phrase under God. So we will talk about that. And then also in Colorado yesterday, our Colorado Supreme Court was looking at a case regarding Columbine, the murders at Columbine, and there are materials, there's evidence that has to do with that crime, and that evidence, including videos and other things produced by the murderers, that evidence, they're considering whether it should be released to the public or returned to the murderers' families. And so in the studio, we have Brian Rohrbaugh. Brian, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you, Brian. Could you tell us, you were involved in the case yesterday, downtown Denver at the Supreme Court building. Could you tell us about what's at stake? What's happening in that case?
Well, we kind of have to go back to the beginning. And what happened is there were videotapes made by the murderers, and they wanted the tapes released to glorify what they were going to do.
This was now, Harris and Klebold.
Right. And we didn't know those tapes even existed until there was a court case where some of the people who supplied weapons to them were sentenced. Mm. And then we were promised by the DA and everyone those wouldn't be released, which at the time seemed like a good idea, not knowing about them and all. Shortly after that, John Stone allowed a reporter from Time magazine to view those and actually view them over and over and over and take quotes from them.
Yeah, well, that was about 5 years ago?
Yeah. And then after that, they tried to seal them, and the families demanded to see them, and then they ended up showing them to the media, and a few other people who weren't involved with either group were there to see them.
So these were videos made by the murderers.
Right.
And were you one of the ones who got to see the videos?
Yes. I've seen them and reviewed them extensively. And in a nutshell, they show not just the wickedness of these two murderers. Mm-hmm. They show their home life and the wickedness there. And that's why I think they should be released. I think that what could be learned from that is actually incredibly valuable, but it's also telling about the police, about the DA, and about these two families, as well as a school, because there are references to everything that went on leading up to Columbine.
Wow. Now, what we hear, and we've heard so often from school officials in the county, Sheriff John Stone, who's no longer the sheriff of Jefferson County, but what we've heard is that we need to learn from Columbine and we need to be able to see the warning signs.
Right.
And it seems like we're learning nothing from Columbine, but this is another piece of evidence that we could learn from.
Well, as you know, we started the open record cases trying to get evidence. And at the time, the assistant county attorney, Lily Offler, told the court and told us there was about 13,000 pages total in the investigation. Mm. And of that, the judge ordered about 11,000 released. Now we've passed 52,000 pages of actual documents. So she was lying to the court.
Wow.
Now, she argued in front of the Supreme Court yesterday, and you have to have a little perspective on Lily Offler. There was a secret meeting a few days after Columbine in which she and at least 19 other officials from Jefferson County agreed that they were going to conceal the evidence they had leading up to the attack.
Now, has this meeting been talked about in the media?
It has been, and it wasn't known about until the Attorney General launched a grand jury to look at one missing document from 1997. Mm. And even in that narrow scope where they hoped to find nothing, the evidence of this meeting and the people who attended it came out, as well as what they talked about. And the only purpose for the meeting was to cover up what they had done wrong leading to Columbine and to deceive the families and the public.
When Columbine happened, I recall you and I ended up doing some shows shortly thereafter, and I got to know you after Columbine.
Right.
But I recall with you and when you were not in the studio talking about Columbine, saying the how bizarre the police response was from Jefferson County and the sheriff on down, that authority structure, and that it was so bizarre, it seemed like it had to have ulterior motives to it, like they were embarrassed from the first moment, and they were more concerned about covering up than they had been in the first couple hours about saving kids.
Right. Their vanity was the only thing they tried to protect. You know, they didn't care about the kids. They didn't care about the future. You know, they didn't care about anything. They didn't care about learning.
Well, there were police there who wanted to go in to confront Harris and Klebold, these murderers, right, and to save kids. And they were forbidden. They were ordered not to.
That's true in many cases. And, you know, when we learned about the mountain of evidence they had leading up to this, for example, they knew about the pipe bombs that Klebold and Harris were building and detonating. Mm. They had the websites where they bragged about the bombs, you know, gave the names that were written on the side of the bombs and all of that. So they had a direct link to Klebold and Harris. Mm-hmm. They had developed a search warrant to search Harris's house, and that warrant abruptly ended.
It was quashed or what?
I believe it was. I believe that a high-ranking official in Jefferson County stopped that search warrant before it ever made it to a judge.
It was – okay.
And the reason I believe that high-ranking person did that is because they had something political to gain or a favor to repay, and that's why they stopped it.
Because there had been complaints to Jefferson County about Harris and Klebold. They had been in trouble with the law. There were specific complaints from the Brown family.
Right. They had threatened to kill their son, Brooks Brown.
Randy and Judy
right.
Brown. Mm-hmm. They had gone to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. They had met with even bomb squad
right.
people.
They,
and,
right.
And there was a – of course, there was a paper trail of all this.
Right.
But after Columbine happened, they came out and said we had been warning – the sheriff's department about the Harris and Klebold, and the sheriff turned around and said publicly, hey, your son is a suspect.
That's right.
That was just startling.
That's exactly what happened. They tried to discredit them immediately, and then they tried to beat them up publicly so they'd back down
right.
and back away. And what the Browns decided was, you know, their son survived, but other people's kids didn't, and it was worth whatever they had to go through to try to get the truth
to
known.
Get the truth
and
out.
They had nothing to hide.
Yeah. And so then what happened was that the paper trail started to surface.
There were what I'm going to call informants. There were some good police officers inside Jefferson County that probably in the first few months after started giving us information of the cover-up. That's how we learned about the search warrant. That's how we learned about the partnership that was taking place between Jefferson County and the Klebolds and Harrises, where they were mutually agreeing to keep this stuff concealed. And so that was kind of where we first had an idea.
And so then it became – then these documents were released, and now in Colorado it's widely known that – the sheriff's department and Jeffco, that they had misled the public in saying there were no such.
Oh, they flat lied.
Yeah, they lied, and it's solidly documented now, right?
It's
publicly.
That's absolutely true.
Right.
It is completely documented.
Right.
There is no question about the lies. The people that were stating the lies said we didn't know that at the time. But they were at the secret meetings
right.
in which the evidence was looked at and it was agreed this will never see the light of day.
Right. Now, when – and I know I've asked you this on the air, but when Columbine, the murders were in progress and, you know, all the police from so many jurisdictions and helicopters and the Jeffco Command and Control Center went down there and it sat seemingly for hours stymied.
Right.
Virtually nothing happening. Is it possible at that time that they were thinking through what did we have on Harrison Klebold?
Well, what happened, and we know this from the secret meetings, and what happened is the Attorney General released to us the recordings that his investigator made with and basically they were interviews with the different police officers who were involved. And from those recordings, there's a couple things that are very clear. One, a police officer delivered all of the Brown's documents and all of the complaints to the command center on April 20th, 1999.
Unbelievable.
The other thing we know –
Brian, I got it right. That's April 20th,
right.
1999.
The day
– The day of.
Right.
In other words, while there's hundreds of kids trapped in that school, it's unknown exactly what's happened.
Right.
There's people bleeding and dying. And the authority from the sheriff on down in Jefferson County Sheriff's Department is saying basically do nothing, virtually do nothing.
Right.
What they're doing is they're getting the paperwork that they had been processing on Harrison Klebold. And that's one of their – that's a concern that was above going in and confronting the killers.
Right. Well, and you also got to realize they knew it was Klebold and Harris within the first moments of the attack. And I've got a recording of the DA, the then DA, Dave Thomas, stating that the very first thing he did is went to his computer and enter those names so he could pull up all the information on them and bring it down.
And obviously he had information.
He had tons of information. The other thing we learned from the police officers there is that the door to the command center was locked and there was no access, no communication between the officers outside who needed to be relaying information right that moment to them. And that door was locked. And so the speculation, and I think it's probably more than speculation, is they were in there looking at this evidence, figuring out what to do and how to cover it up and how to spin the whole thing. And by doing so, they decided just to disregard whether the attack was still going on, whether it was over. You know, whether Dave Sanders bled to death or whether
he's
he got
the
medical
teacher.
Help. He's the teacher that for over 3 hours the kids were on their cell phones talking to the 911 dispatchers, telling them where they were in the school, what his condition was, the whole thing. They knew exactly where he was.
So afterward when they said the reason – and it seems like one positive thing that happened after Columbine was that – police department after department, city after city across the country said, if that ever happens here, we are not going to do what Jefferson County did. We are going to go in and confront the killers.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, we've seen the fact that there have been school shootings and the police have gone in and stopped them.
Right.
And so
whereas the Los Angeles Police Department, they
right.
did this phony report on Jeffco that they whitewashed everything. They said Jeffco did everything by the
you
book.
Know, that,
is that right?
That's interesting that you bring that up. You know, they didn't pick up my son for 27 hours, and he was the first or second victim picked up.
Danny.
Did you know that they brought the officials from Los Angeles and let them tour the school before they removed any bodies?
Wow.
So four of these guys got on an airplane and came to Colorado at the invitation of the sheriff. And they got to look at the crime scene, and Jeffco acted like it was some kind of a trophy. And they paraded people through there. And then after the fact, then L.A. comes out and says, yeah, they did everything great. They're heroes.
They did everything by the book. And if they did everything by the book, well, then L.A. and Jeffco's book must be wrong, because every other police department in the country has – I mean – it's time after time I've heard in the media, that's not the way we're going to do it. We're going to go in and we're going to stop the crime.
Well, and, you know, after Columbine, there was a lot of people saying, law enforcement people saying, you know, we have nothing to base this on. We've never seen this before. Now, you probably remember, I believe it was 1964 in Texas, where a guy climbed up in a tower and started shooting students.
Oh, yeah.
That was an active shooter situation. And every law enforcement department around the country learned that when you have an active shooter,
you go after them.
You don't wait. You don't talk. You don't do anything.
Right.
When they have the advantage,
right,
you go after them.
Yeah, and there's innocent kids who are not armed, and they're targets, and the police are in the command center trying to figure out if they're going to have a PR problem because they dropped the ball on Harrison Klebold.
Well, a PR problem, a litigation problem, you know, and of course, one of the sad things about this, and you know, this is kind of why I'm here, is to talk about the courts, is that the courts worship man-made laws, but they absolutely never consider right and wrong.
They don't care about right and wrong.
No.
John Roberts.
John Roberts is the classic example. He's going to be the crowning jewel of the failed pro-life movement to vote Republican politicians in the hopes that we can get a Republican judges and Republican Supreme Court, which we already have.
Right, exactly, which is thoroughly pro-abortion. And John Roberts is a complete legal positivist. He would consider it a repudiation of his entire character if he issued a ruling to do what was right. He's against the concept of doing what was right. He is the creation of our national Christian leaders' strategy, which is you follow the process.
Right, exactly. Worship the process and it'll take care of you. And of course, you've pointed out correctly that the Nuremberg trials had judges exactly like John Roberts that
and
were
lawyers
sentenced to death.
Well, the lawyers – there were lawyers sentenced to death and judges sentenced to life. And their defense was, I was following the rules. I was following the process.
I was following the law.
Right.
The law said it was okay, so who am I to say that you don't have the right to murder a Jew?
Yeah, and we've been killing babies by the millions, and John Roberts has no problem with that if you're following the process.
Right, and it's the law of the land in his mind. And so what would he have said about slavery? That was the law of the land.
Yeah, you're not kidding. It was the law of the land.
Was,
Article 1 of the Constitution.
Right. If he was in power in the 60s, would we still have slavery today?
That's so, another good point.
Yeah.
Hey, let me just take a moment, Brian, before we get to the case yesterday, to let people know our telethon, we have a goal of raising $10,000 during this month of September. We're up to $3,000. So thank you so very much, everyone out there. Our phone number is 800-836-9278. Of course, you could give online at our website, kgov.com. But the phone number to call in, a credit card pledge, you could let us know you're going to mail it in. If you'd like to make a gift, is 1-800-836-9278. And we have so far two monthly pledges, two subscriptions. People are signing up. We have monthly Bible study albums for $34.95 a month. We have the monthly video, the video of the month. They're so fun, those videos. We have the monthly sermons, the best of Bob on MP3 CDs, the best eight radio shows of the month. And some people just will sign up to say, I'd like to give a gift every month of so much a month, 20, 50, 10, 100. So please, if you can help us out, we're up to $3,000, and now we have two monthly pledges to add to those we already have. We're so thankful. So please call us at 800-836-9278. All right, Brian. So yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday, I attended the hearing and, you know, there was some media there. And there were an awful lot of lawyers there just hanging around. I'm not quite sure why they were there. Maybe they're fascinated with this case because they don't understand the basic principles of right and wrong.
Yeah.
But – you know, the arguments, once again, Lily Offler, the attorney, one of the attorneys who was at the secret meeting, one of the attorneys who orchestrated the cover-up, stood in front of the court and lied, saying that this started when the Klebold and Harrises wrote us a letter saying they wanted those items returned to us.
Okay, now this is the Colorado Supreme Court.
Right.
They're looking at Columbine evidence, videos, and other
Yeah, they're looking at who it belongs to.
Okay, so Harris and Klebold, the murderers, made these videos.
They made the videos.
About the crime, which now that sounds like evidence for a crime.
Well, and it was collected as evidence by the police. Mm. It was done during the investigation. Mm. You know, it was subsequently held by the police and then shown to Time magazine and eventually many people in the public and the media. And it was clearly a criminal record. It was involved in the investigation.
Right.
And under Colorado open record laws, you could go to court and ask for that to be released. That would be a reasonable thing. But more importantly, once they release it to one private citizen, it is a public record. There's no such thing as letting me see that video
and not
letting you see that video.
Right.
And so the precedent is well established. And clearly, in most crimes, you don't release real sensitive evidence. But once the sheriff decides that he's going to do a favor for a reporter at Time magazine, it is released, and there's no putting it back.
Yeah, right. And in crimes like a molestation crime, you don't release videos and you don't release things that mock the victims.
So anyhow, it was pretty much standard for all the court cases. Jeffco goes in there. They lie through their teeth about what happened, why it happened, and they try to argue this. The other side presents the other side of the argument. They talk about the history, what's happened, what the law is, and why it should be released. And most of the time, the court side with Jeffco, because when these documents are released, they involve the court system. Hmm. They involve the way Harris and Klebold were treated. They involve the things we know.
In other words,
now,
they embarrass the system.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we know that Harris, when he was put into that juvenile program, that he wrote that he was homicidal. And suicidal.
So and that he didn't, told
that
them.
Didn't, oh, that didn't bother them a bit. They let him out early with high grades. Mm. You know, it's typical of this kind of system.
The complete breakdown of our criminal justice system.
Right. And of course, the reason we have a complete breakdown is because we've forgotten about God's laws. And we've decided that saying that murder is a crime you should be put to death for, we decided that we could divide it up into different categories of murder.
Right, yeah.
And so with different categories, well, maybe in an extreme case, like if you kill a federal judge or someone who's worthwhile, maybe there'll be a death penalty. But if it's just an average child in someone's home,
right.
No, that's a 10-year or 20-year sentence. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you do it 20 times, it's a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a system that is utterly – it was originally based on God's law, and then God has utterly been thrown out of it, just like the school with the Pledge of Allegiance, which, of course, brings us to another related topic.
Well, why don't we talk about that for a moment, because the crime we're talking about happened at a public high school, Columbine.
Right.
And so now I know Christians will be so upset because you can't – at least in Sacramento, California – the kids can't say the Pledge of Allegiance in their public schools.
Right.
Does that really matter? Does it matter?
Well, I'll tell you. What it really does is a lot of times it changes the focus of parents. And they'll fight – Christian parents might fight to say this is wrong. You have to reinstate it and think they've won a victory.
And this is just a symbol.
Right. And what they should do is they should say this is more proof – that the government schools hate God and they hate our children if they believe in God. And so what we should do is we should say, as Christians, we don't need to fight this. We just shouldn't be part of it.
Take the kids out of the public schools.
Right. Get the kids out of a government school and do one of two things.
Yeah.
Find a good Christian school and hold them accountable.
Hold them accountable
hold
because
them
a lot
accountable.
Of Christian schools are liberal.
Well, and I say that because you can't hold a government school accountable.
Right.
But you can hold a private school accountable.
Or you said do two things.
Yeah, do two things. The other is to homeschool. Mm. Now, I realize most parents are going to say either I don't have time or I'm not smart enough. But when you really do the math, most of the time the second job that mom works pays for the new car, pays for the insurance on the car, and pays for the school supplies and the school clothes
and
the transportation and the daycare.
Right.
All of the things that – whose costs dramatically drop when you homeschool, not to mention you have a relationship with your kids throughout their life that's good instead of in the teenage years being divided because of what the government school does.
Right. And the government schools, now some people might really take offense that you just said they hate God, but the curriculum of the government schools is a godless curriculum.
Well, keep in mind, I asked the superintendent of Jeffco Schools on live TV if she could condemn Klebold and Harris for murdering their classmates, and she was horrified. But you know, she couldn't condemn them. And the reason she couldn't is because they teach there are no absolute right or wrongs. You have the right to decide for yourself what's right for you. In other words, if I want to murder my neighbor,
right,
that's okay.
Yeah.
And secondly, they taught evolution. That was the second tenet of Klebold and Harris's act.
Their video?
Yeah, is that they said, you know, we have the right to kill those of you who are weaker than us. Not only the right, the obligation, you deserve to die.
Because the stronger can destroy the weaker. It's,
well,
Darwinism.
Exactly. That's
and
exactly right.
I remember that Harris had a T-shirt on and it said – what did it say? Do you remember?
Natural selection.
Natural selection. And on the front page, I think I looked it up recently, the Rocky Mountain News, they were – they reported on the autopsy and they said his T-shirt during the crime said natural selection. And they said, we don't know what that refers to.
Right. And that's more evidence of a wholesale lie.
Unbelievable.
But the schools hate God and they especially hate kids who come to school with some faith.
I had one guy tell me just a week ago, grew up in the public schools, started out as a Christian kid, and he said the teachers who were bold about their beliefs were the atheists.
Right.
Because whatever Christians were in the schools were afraid to speak, and he said it destroyed his life, and it took him years to recover his life.
Yeah, and that's all too common a story. And the other mistake parents make is they think, oh, my school wasn't that bad. They must be better today. Mm. And they're willfully blind when they get near the school to think that.
Oh,
but it's easier because it seems like it's paid daycare.
Yeah.
And you might have to suffer a little bit. Mm. And, you know, speaking of like Maranatha Christian Center.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
in
one
Arvada
of the,
here.
Right. Great school and a great answer to this problem. But one of the things parents should consider, don't think about funding college. Think about funding the lower education from
wow.
the very first grade. College
wow.
is almost meaningless at this point, and your homeschooled kids are going to be much brighter,
so,
or your kids schooled at Maranatha are going to be much brighter.
So that
than
second
what's
job
out of
or mom working so right. that one day we could pay $20,000 a year for the kids to go to college
right.
is really looking at it backwards.
That's exactly right.
Put the time and the effort into the kids, into a solid Christian education and upbringing when they're young.
And you'll never regret the time you spend with them.
Amen. Brian Rohrbaugh, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
For joining me. And Brian and I are going to Florida this Sunday. We're flying down there to meet with D. James Kennedy's Reclaiming America and their executive director, Gary Cass, to talk about Christian political strategy. It's going to be a great trip. Pray for us. And then the phone number, if you'd like to pledge or help out or donate, 1-800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Check us out on the web at kgov.com. Read my manuscript, The Plot, about the Bible, and check out Maranatha Christian Center.